Before I continue this morning, you may be seated. I want to ask you a question. What is legacy? What is legacy? Won't you turn to somebody next to you and ask each other for a definition? What is legacy? Quickly turn to the person next to you. Just for a moment, I want you to discuss with the person next to you, what is your idea of legacy? And while you think and talk about that, I have a little video clip I want us to look at to help us to think about legacy. So I'm going to ask the guys there on top if they can quickly play that little clip for us.
You have everything, right?
Yeah, Dad, I got everything. I got the stove, the sleeping bag, the liners, the matches, and the cooler.
Clean underwear?
Yeah, when Jenny packed the girls' bags, I'm sure she packed the girls' clean underwear.
No. I mean for you.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Because if you forgot, you
Dad,
know...
Dad, I didn't forget them.
If not, you just flip them inside out. You'll be fine. Hey, now remember, the s'mores... You want to make sure you get the chocolate.
I know, Dad. I need to melt the chocolate before I add the marshmallows. That way, it all melts smoothly.
Yeah. Taking both girls camping. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, it was one thing taking you and your brothers, but girls. Wow, that's a whole different ballgame.
I can do it.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, son.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Have a great weekend. Make some good memories with those fine girls of yours. It's a privilege being a dad. You get to show them God's big old world, probably some stuff they've never seen this weekend. Just remind them who made it. Have fun with them. Laugh a lot. You were always such a serious little guy. Hey, I love you, boy.
I love you too.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Hey! Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Daddy!
Alright.
You're really gonna do this, aren't you? Why don't you just take her to the mall? Maybe ride a carousel, watch a movie.
I got this, trust me.
At least let me take this one.
Are you kidding me? She looks like me and has your personality. She's the life of the party. Why would I do that?
Do you pack clean underwear?
Why does everybody keep asking me about that?
Here's your dad panties.
It's called underwear.
Why don't you let me go with you?
No.
I think your dad would be proud of you. Even though there are much easier ways to celebrate Father's Day.
Maybe. But you know what? It's what we do. Me and my dad. It's our thing.
Legacy. What is legacy? It's interesting if we look at Genesis chapter 1, we read an account of creation. And here in verse 27 to 28, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over everything in it." It's amazing when God first created the entire universe, his response to everything that he created was that it was good. And then he created man. He created them different to the rest of creation. He made them uniquely different in that he imparted his own image and likeness within them. And when he was finished, God was excited. He said, it is very good. In comparison to the rest that I've made, this is very good. God liked it. God got excited and he said, it is very good. So he created man, man, male and female. And he was excited, not just for what he did, but for what they represented. They represented something. And that made God very excited. They represented God on earth in creation. He said, listen, yeah, I've made you and I'm very excited. I love you. And I'm very excited about you because of what you mean, what you represent. I've imparted of myself, my likeness and my image within you. And I want you to reign, to rule, to have dominion over everything. As a matter of fact, I love you. I bless you. I want you to go and multiply and fill the earth. I want you to reproduce and continue. I have made you uniquely in my image. I've made you male and female, and I want you to become one flesh, and I want you to procreate. What a wonderful English word. I want you to procreate. I have given you the ability to actually procreate this image and this likeness that I have invested, imparted in you. I've given you the ability to procreate others with the same image and likeness. And I am so excited about you. I want you to multiply and fill the earth. I want you to continue with this, what I have imparted in your life. That's God's excitement when he looks at each and every one of us. You know, so I want to say God is very excited about Dan and Val and Samantha and Bruce and Petrus and Surette, the parents that was here earlier. God is very excited about them. God is excited about their marriage, the fact that they came together and became one flesh. Because marriage in itself represents something also, and we will get to that. And God is very excited about Augie and Eland and Grace and Corinne. God is excited about their dedication. Yes, God is excited about each one of you. He's excited about all of us. He's excited because of what we represent. We represent something eternally that makes God very excited. You are an image. But more than that, you are a legacy. Your life is a legacy. A legacy that God is very excited about. God has an excitement and an anticipation when he sees his children come together. And we read about that in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. It says, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and in spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking a godly offspring. God is excited about each one of us. He's excited when we come together because he has an anticipation of an offspring, a legacy, something that will continue, that image, that likeness that will be reproduced throughout the world. That's why God says, go and multiply, procreate, fill the earth, continue with what I have started, that what I've created, I want you to multiply it. God is saying he has an anticipation of a multiplication of his image and likeness in this world. So when God our Father looks at his children, he has an anticipation and an excitement that we will go and multiply that what we are in his image and likeness. Is there any grandparents here today? I know of one. Any other grandparents? Okay, great. Some of the children that was dedicated, some who have grandparents for some time. But I think you might be able to identify with this very difficult to explain pride that you have this morning. And every time that you come to your grandchildren, there is something as grandparents that is very difficult to define. I try to ask my father, and he can't express it in words when my little daughters come to visit. There's something about grandparents and their grandchildren that is difficult to explain in words, but part of that is a pride, not just that of the parents, but you see it specifically in grandparents. Because grandchildren represent something. It represents something more than just kids. It represents legacy. It represents something that continues beyond yourself. You know, children are a gift from God. You can ask Brian and Antoinette Woods. They are here. They'll tell you about the gift. And I'm sure there are many others. My parents, they struggled for 7 years. And then I was born. Finally. My parents really loved me. And then they had to wait another 7 years for my brother. But this pride that is within parents and grandparents also has a lot to do with legacy. You know, in Psalm 127 verse 3, we read, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." And heritage speaks again about this legacy and what children represents, offspring. That is why, you know, traditionally family names were given. You know, when you have your first boy, tradition was you name it after the grandfather. Why do we name children after our grandparents? It's because it's a continuation of a legacy. That's where the whole concept came from. It is one generation being passed on to the next, and the legacy and the memory and the history continues. I mean, my grandfather was a classic example. When I was born, my father phoned Opa Andries. And my father's brother, youngest brother, just died quite recently, and I was born shortly after. So he phoned his father and he said, "Pa, ek het gedink ek gaan die seun Andries of Willem Andries noem." Willem was my uncle's name. So my father phoned his father and said, "Listen, yeah, what about Willem Andries van der Merwe?" And my grandfather apparently was quite quiet over the phone, and he said, "Andries Willem klink goed, my seun." So then my father decided, let's leave the Willem altogether, and I'm just Andries. Okay? Interestingly enough, my grandfather only left inheritance for his grandchildren that had his name. All the boys that did not carry his name didn't get anything. Only we, who had his name, got something. That's how serious my grandfather was about the name. And the continuation of his name, the memory of his name, the legacy. That's where the culture comes from. We did not name our children after our grandparents. Because legacy is far more than a name. It's far more than a name. Offspring, heritage, and legacy is something that continues beyond the present, beyond our own lives. Legacy looks back to the past and then builds upon it. And after it's been built upon it, it passes it on to the next generation, like a baton in a relay race. That is legacy. Something that starts somewhere, that has been built, and then finally it's been handed over to the next generation. That handing over of the baton, that is called legacy. And God has a special place and expectation when it comes to legacy. Our children are our legacy. And what we build in them, what we build and invest in our children, that is what will continue. Our children many times are like the baton, or the person that receives the baton. You know, Proverbs 22 verse 6, we know it so well. It says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That what I invest in my child will continue in him. So legacy is not just the name of our children, but it is to do with what we as parents invest in them. Through our knowledge, our example, but also our impartation. That is what legacy is all about. That's how you build legacy. Everything that we say and do have an effect on our children. But more importantly, the way we live our lives imparts legacy into our children. I asked my father recently about his childhood, and we spoke about it. And my father is now 75. Hy is Johannes Nicolaas Kreer van der Merwe. Okay. And that reflects our family tree. And my brother is also Johannes Nicolaas Kreer Van der Merwe. It's because we are, our lineage comes from the Krugers. That's why the Krieger is in there. We Van der Merwes, we keep on marrying the Kriegers. My wife's maiden's name is also Kruger. So we have a tendency to do that. But I spoke to my father, and he's 75, and on the ripe age of 72, he asked myself and my brother to baptize him on the farm. So about 3 years ago, it was a very special moment for me and my brother to baptize my father. My father, at a ripe age of 71, 72, got saved, spirit-filled, and is on fire for God. And you know, one of the things this week past, we came back from we had our 10-year anniversary. We went away for a week, and we left my kids with my parents. And when we came back, I spent some time again with my dad, and I asked him about his life. But more specifically, he said, you know what, my son, I'm so excited about where I'm at today in my knowledge and understanding of God and my relationship with God. I am just so sorry I could not mean more to you, impart more to you as a child. I wish I knew what I knew now, and I could impart that to you when you were younger. And I was just amazed at my father's statement, and then I had to correct him, and I said, you know what, Dad? You left me a lot. There are so much that you have given me that you do not realize. I mean, the fact that you loved my mother and the way you loved my mother. I can testify that I have never heard my father fight with my mother. I think I was in matric when I heard my father fight with my mother for the first time. I mean, the amazing environment and the security and the legacy that it imparted into my life. I grew up as a boy with the security that my father loves my mother. To such an extent that I was always angry with my father, because even when my mother was clearly wrong, my father would take a side in front of us. And I at times resented him for it, but now as a grown-up man, I am privileged to have grown up in a family where I never heard my mother and my father fight. And I could tell this to my father. I said, yes, maybe you did not know all these spiritual truths, but you know, Father, you imparted so much into my life through the way you loved my mother. And Father, you know what? The way you treated the poor and the destitute and the marginalized, the way you treated the black and the colored folk. We grew up in the apartheid years. I can still remember the whites-only toilets and the white-only beaches. My wife doesn't. She was too young. But you know what? I could tell my father, you know what, Dad? The way you treated black people and the way you treat our laborers at work. And I know you were labeled ANC supporters, and I know you were criticized for the way you treated the poor and the marginalized. But Father, I want to thank you for that, because it instilled something in me. And then my father started to tell me, but you know what, my son, my father, your grandfather, that what you saw in me is what I got from him. Because I never heard him spoke angrily or even harshly to any of his laborers. He never swore at them. He never hit them. The only time I ever saw your grandfather hit somebody is when one of the laborers hit one of the children and he hit them back. That's the only time I ever saw your father lift his hand against somebody of another race. I never heard him swear. He always used to speak very nicely and politely to them, even when they fired them. He would simply tell them, you know what, I think it's better that we part ways. And then he told me how those laborers would come back to him after they've been exposed to the other farmers and said, please, can't we come back to you? My father told me that I never saw your grandfather cry. The only time I ever saw him cry in his entire life was when one of his laborers' child died after being bitten from a poisonous snake. And at the funeral, I saw your grandfather cry for the first time. And I could see how what he saw in his father was imparted to my father. And I want to thank my father for what I received from him. It was a legacy. It was something that started somewhere and continued, that was passed on. But what I'm trying to say is, you know what, legacy is far more than the name that you carry or even the things that you say and you teach your children. It is the way you live your life that imparts the greatest legacy. We can say many things, but it's what we do that speaks the loudest. How we live our lives that imparts the greatest legacy. You know, legacy is like a stepping stone. A stepping stone to the future. For some, legacy is like a solid rock that gives them a firm foothold for their life, for their future. For some, legacy might start off like being in the mud. It can be slippery to start off with. And for others, you know what? Legacy is like a trampoline, a springboard. Not just a solid foundation, but legacy can be more than that. Legacy can be something that propels the next generation into even greatness. And that's what legacy is meant to be. It is like they always say, you know what, my ceiling is meant to be the foundation of my children. And I want to encourage you here this morning to think about legacy. To think about what is the legacy that you are going to leave and pass on to your children. Is it going to be a slippery start? Is it going to be a solid rock? Or is it going to be a springboard to the next life? But you know what? You are going to determine the legacy that you leave. And it's not just through the names you give. It's not just through the things you teach. But it's through the way you live your life. Because that has the greatest power to impart. Our children are the ones who will receive our legacy, and what we build in them and the example we set, that will continue. And as parents, God is going to ask an account from us. This morning we had a dedication where we as parents, we are dedicating but also committing ourselves to teach our children, to show them, to love them, to create an environment for them where they can grow in their understanding of God. And one day God's going to keep us accountable. He's going to ask us an account for the legacy that we left our children, for the environment that we created. God has an expectation of a godly offspring. He has an expectation that when we come together as His children, the offspring that we will produce will be godly. He has an expectation that that image and that likeness will continue and be multiplied throughout the earth. My question to you this morning, what are you building in your children? And more specifically, what are you building into your children to meet God's expectation of a godly offspring? Are you taking up that responsibility? Are you deliberately spending time with your children in the Word? Are you deliberately praying with and for them? Are you thinking about opportunities to teach and to impart godliness into them? And are you living your life in such a way that it supports what you have been teaching? Are you encouraging your children through the way you're living your life to grow closer to God? It is not just the things that you build directly, but also indirectly. You know, in Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 32, and I mentioned it earlier in my father's life, it speaks about a very well-known portion of Scripture. I normally do weddings upon it. But it speaks here about the role of the husband and the wife. And it starts off with the wife. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." And it's interesting that it starts with the wives. But you know what? It's only two verses. The rest is all for the husbands. Then it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present it to himself as a radiant church without strain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm speaking about Christ and the church. You know what is so amazing about this portion of scripture? When it speaks about the role of the wife and the husband, it is actually speaking of something far greater. It is actually speaking of the fact that marriage is a reflection of an image of something far greater. Marriage in itself is a reflection of a great mystery. Marriage is meant to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. That's why when God speaks about the role of the wife and the husband, it keeps on referring as Christ does the church and the church does to Christ. Because marriage is meant to reflect the image and the likeness of a relationship God has with his church. And the reason why wives ought to respect her husband and husband ought to love her wife is because that is meant to create an environment where our children can have an understanding of the love of God for his church. I mean, that's why in Malachi God says he hates divorce. Because divorce does not reflect my unconditional love. That's why he says, husbands, you ought to love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. At the cost of himself, he laid down his life. So husbands, you ought to love your wives at the cost of yourself. Because in doing so, you are portraying an image of who I am. So that your children may know and see in your way you love your wife, and wife you love your husband, that your children may grow up in an environment where they know and they are secure in their understanding of God's faithfulness and love towards them. I mean, that's why you see that when children come from an abusive family, they struggle with the concept of a father gone. Because the earthly father was abusive. So for them, it's very difficult many times to start off their Christian life. And I counsel many because of their family. Because some come out of an abusive family, some come out of a divorced family, and they struggle with this concept because God himself reveals himself as a father that is loving. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, I hate divorce because it does not reflect my unconditional love to you. And that's why God says, husbands, you must love your wives as Christ loves the church, and wives, submit to your husband as the church to Christ, because you are creating an image, a reflection, an environment where your children can understand who I am. And you give them a springboard when somebody will come to them at an age when they understand the concept of a father God. You would have given them a springboard to understand what it means. When I say, I am your father. I mean, what amazing heritage can you leave your children like my father did to me? I grew up knowing that my father loved my mother no matter what. I grew up with the security of knowing no matter what happens, that will never change. I'm thankful for my father for that. I'm trying very hard to do the same. I've not succeeded yet, but I'm trying very hard because I realize in my own life, what a privilege. And I know for some of us, we've come from different environments. But I want to encourage you, you know what? You might have started very slippery, but legacy is something that you start today. You choose today how you're going to live your life. And that will have an impact on generations to come. Our children need to see in us the way we love each other, the character and the love of God. That gives them a trampoline for life, for eternal life. And we have the opportunity to do so. You know what? It is not the money that we leave that will give a trampoline to their life. It is the example that we set. You know, Ecclesiastes says, when there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then gives his legacy to one who has not labored with him, or with them, it is to vanity and a great evil. It speaks about the fact, what does it help? You leave something for your children and you have not made them part of that achievement. You have not incorporated them with you. You have not taught them the wisdom and the knowledge which you had to acquire these things. Then leaving them that is of nothing. Rather incorporate them. You know what? Make your children part of your life. Teach them. Impart to them. Make use of every opportunity that you have to impart life and make sure that your life reflects that life. Impartation and example and the knowledge and the reality of God are far more important than physical things that we can leave. You know, God reveals Himself as our Father and we are our children, and therefore it's so important that we create the image, the correct image of a Father and a love. And you know what? God has an expectation that we do so. And He has also given us the grace. We can come to God as parents and ask God to help us. And by His Spirit, He will give us the grace to love and to submit and to cherish one another and to create an environment. But it starts with a choice. It starts with a choice. Legacy doesn't happen automatically. It is something that we deliberately work at. And I want to encourage you here today to deliberately start working at the legacy that you're going to leave your children, the eternal legacy, which is many times far harder than a physical legacy. It's easier to make money than it is to leave an example. It takes far more work to be present than to be absent. And I want to encourage you, whether you're married or not, to start think and to start build in legacy today. God has an expectation for a godly offspring. And that's not just a physical offspring. For those of you who are not married, that's also a spiritual offspring. I mean, we read about this in Isaiah 45. It says it's so beautiful. It says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, for you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in the desolate cities. And it speaks about our spiritual offspring. It speaks about the people that we invest into as spiritual fathers and mothers. Who are the people that you are discipling? The people that you are investing your life into. Very similar to parents investing their lives into their children. You know what? That process of investing your life deliberately into somebody else's life, it's called discipleship. It's when you deliberately invest yourself into somebody else, that is called discipleship. And God has an expectation as His children that we will reproduce, that we will invest that image and likeness that we have into others so that they also will become children of God. That's the Great Commission for you. I mean, let's read that again. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Everything that I have imparted into you, I want you to go and multiply. I want you to go into the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. To make disciples. So I want to encourage you to make disciples, to invest your life deliberately into somebody else because that is your offspring. Whether that's physical or spiritual, that what you invest yourself in, those that you invest yourself in, they will continue and they will be your legacy. Your legacy will be measured by the people that you have touched and changed. So I want to encourage you, whether you're married or not, it makes no difference. You have received something from God. You have received His Spirit. You have received His grace. You have received His salvation. You were born again into the family of God. Not by the will of man, but the will of God. You were born not of flesh, but of the Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit, and you have gained many things in your Christian life. Revelation after revelation, blessing after blessing, God has imparted in you His likeness and His image. And He has an expectation that you will take hold of what you have received and in part invest that in others so that you can multiply that. It sounds a lot like the parable of the talents. We all have received, God has an expectation that we will multiply. I want to encourage you to multiply, to actually start thinking about legacy. This deliberate process of investing yourself into somebody else. And you know what? That's going to require of you time. It's going to take time, thought, effort, patience, and above all, a lot of love to invest in somebody else. That's what discipleship is all about. Whether you call it parenting or whether you call it discipling, it is exactly the same thing. You deliberately invest yourself in somebody else, your life, not just your knowledge. We are God's children born again, and He has an expectation that we be fruitful. That's from Genesis right to the Great Commission. We have this great privilege to impart what we have received. So what are you doing with what you have received? As children of God. And you know what? That's the great challenge of us in this life, is that God sees eternity and we only see the temple. We live for this temple world. God lives for eternity. And what we do in this temple world will determine how we spend eternity. And God has given us precious mysteries and blessings. So what are you doing with what you have received? Now that you are a child of God, what are you doing? God has an expectation that we multiply. Who are you investing in what you have received? Who are the people that you are investing in the spiritual gifts and blessings that you have received? The revelation of God. That what you have learned through experience, who are you investing it in? Because who you're investing in will determine what your legacy is. Because the ones that you're investing in are the ones that will continue after you have gone. Starting a legacy is never too late, but you can never start too early either. We have all received. I believe God is encouraging us this morning to start to multiply. So if you are parents, I want to encourage you, start with your children. If your parents, start with your children. Start to impart not just the physical things, but the eternal things. You know, we have parenting courses that will help you. That's why we made this awesome dedication and prayer. You know what? It is the responsibility of the parents in partnership with the church. And as a church, we want to help you as parents to see that image and that likeness that you have imparted into your children so that they can impart it into their children. And that's why we've got parenting courses. That's why we've got children's church. I want to encourage you, when your children come back from children's church, ask them, what did they learn? And we're going to send you weekly updates concerning the curriculum so that you through the week can continue to build on what has been imparted. But the primary responsibility for that is not the church. We are helping you. But as parents, we have children. And if you don't have kids yet, start with a young Christian. Start with a young Christian in your small group. Find somebody that has just been born again, that is a little baby. And you, from your experience, start to walk a road with that person. I mean, there's many practical ways of doing that. Encourage that person to do foundations. And after they finished perspective, foundation one, have coffee with them and ask them, how did you experience salvation? How did you experience baptism? How did you experience the teaching on the Holy Spirit? And then you share with him your experience. That is imparting yourself into somebody else. That is taking hold of what you have received and investing that in somebody else. And then take them to community and have coffee with them afterwards and ask them, how did they experience community? What do they think about the body of church? How do they think can they get involved? And then encourage them to do foundation three, legacy. Interestingly, legacy. And then talk to them about what did they experience and pray with them. That's a journey of investing yourself into somebody else so that they can grow in their understanding of God. And that relationship, I can guarantee you, will be one of the most valuable things in any young Christian's life. An older Christian, a more mature Christian, imparting their experience of God and a relationship with God into their life. That is going to be a trampoline in somebody else's life if somebody walks a road with them. And if you don't have a young Christian in your small group, then you go and make one. I mean, isn't that the Great Commission? I mean, isn't that the great and the final commandment? The summary of everything that we still need to do while we're waiting for Jesus' return is to actually go and make disciples. So, you know, if there's not one in your small group, go and make one. It's not so difficult if you ask God to help you. And that's what I want to encourage you. If you haven't made one yet, simply ask God, God, help me. Show me somebody in whom I can invest everything that you have imparted into my life. And I can guarantee you, if you ask God with a sincere heart every day to show you somebody, God's going to show you many. God is the one that says, do not say 4 months and then come the harvest. He says, behold, look up, look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. They're ready. The problem is just the laborers. They're a bit few at the moment. That's why we're here this morning. Actually, we're a bunch of laborers. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have a young Christian in your small group, go make one. Ask God for one. Continually ask him until he shows you, and then you impart the life that you know. You don't need to study theology to share about what God has done in your life. You don't need a theology degree to share about prayer. You don't need that. You can simply impart that love that God has given you into somebody else. To really have a concern. To sit down with somebody once a week over coffee and ask, how are you doing? And what have you learned about God today or in this week? And then share with him what you have learned. That is investing yourself in somebody else. But ask him, you know, in Psalm 2 verse 8, God says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. If you just ask me. So I want to encourage you to continually ask God so that you can start today with your legacy. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. God, that you saw us and you were excited about us even before we were born. God, you were excited about the life that we will live, God, and you imparted your Son, your Spirit, everything in us. God, we thank you for the legacy of those who've gone before us. God, the great heroes of faith, God, the apostles, Lord, and the church and the entire church history, God, and our even our own generations, God, in our time, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for our own parents. Some good, some bad, God, but our Lord, I want to thank you for the homes that we grew up in, God, in this nation, God, in a Christian nation, God. Thank you for churches everywhere, God. Thank you for freedom. God, thank you for so much that we have in this nation. And thank you, God, for the sacrifices of those who've gone before us to make this possible for us. Thank you even for this church, God, in this town, Lord, and many other churches in this town. God, thank you that it is possible for us to come and worship without fear because of the sacrifice many others made before us. And God, I want to thank you for the legacy of parents. God, I want to thank you for my parents. God, I want to thank you for their love and their commitment, Lord, to you and to each other. God, I want to thank you, God, for what I have received, God. Lord, I want to pray for each and every person here, God, that we will be able to build an even greater legacy for our own children. Not just of loving each other, but loving you, God, with all our heart, God. I want to pray, Father, that you will come and remind us of the things that you have imparted in us. Your image, your likeness, your spirit, Father. A relationship with you, God. I pray, Lord, that we will value these things. And God, I pray that you will awaken us to your expectation to see us multiply. Lord, not just through our natural offspring, but through our spiritual offspring. God, I pray that you will open our eyes to see the opportunities. God, I pray that you will give us a hunger and a thirst to meet your expectation, to see your legacy continue through us, not just our own life, but the lives that we touch. God, I pray that your gospel will continue through our lives to many other generations. And God, I pray that you will give us the boldness and the tenacity, God, to ask you to show us the people you want us to invest ourselves into. And God, I pray for a commitment even this morning that we will impart ourselves, invest ourselves in somebody else that your legacy, God, can continue. Because it's your name that every Christian bears. Every time, Lord, a sinner repents and comes to salvation, God, it is you that is glorified. Every time any person turns to you and repents for their sin, God, the blood that you have shed, the price that you have paid to make that possible, God, and the glory you receive every time a sinner repents, God, it is to your glory, God. You are glorified. And God, you have given us the message, the word, the ministry to take it into this world, God, so that you can become famous and your legacy continues as lives are changed, as people turn to you, sinners repent, God, people get saved and healed, God. I pray, Lord, that we will run with your legacy, that we will not be ashamed of it. And work with it. I want to encourage you this morning while we're praying. It is never too late to start to build a legacy. And it's never too early either. And if you are parents here today, I really believe God is encouraging you today to start to deliberately build an eternal legacy into your children. And I want to ask you, if you are a parent here today and God has been speaking to you and encouraging you to start deliberately focusing on the legacy that you will leave your children, I want you just to raise your hand. Just in response to God, I'm not going to call you forward. This is just between you and God. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to say, God, I am going to start today to deliberately build a legacy in my children. And that's just between you and God. So I'm going to not ask you to come forward, but just raise your hand to God. Father, I thank you for all these hands, God, that has been raised today, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bless them, that you will anoint them, God, that you will bring to remembrance everything that you have taught, God, in their own hearts, Lord. And I pray, Father, that as they hear this morning, God, I pray that you will bless these families, God. I pray, God, that you will bless their relationships, God, between the father and the mother, God. I pray, God, that you will bless that in such a way, Father, that it will be reflecting your love for us, God. I pray, Lord, for husbands to love their wives at the cost of themselves, Lord. I pray for wives to respect and submit their husbands, God, as Christ, as the church to Christ, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for a testimony to rise in families, God, where husbands and wives love each other, God, and children are secure in their identity and their future because they can see the way their father loves their wives and the wives loves their husbands. God, I pray that you will bless them. God, I pray that a testimony will rise. God, I pray even for people outside of the family, God, to come to this family to see more and to experience more of what it means to be a Christian family. And maybe you are here and you are grateful for your salvation. You are maybe not married, maybe you're married, but you are grateful for your salvation. I believe God is encouraging you today to take that gratitude and that salvation and to share that deliberately with somebody else, with a young Christian. If you are here today and you are willing to commit yourself to see God's expectation of what is planted in your heart to continue in somebody else, and you are willing to invest yourself in somebody else, I really believe God is encouraging today to do just that. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do exactly the same thing. Just to raise your hand, to say, God, here I am. God, I'm thank you for what you have given me. But God, I hear you calling me today to look for somebody to multiply myself, God, in my experience and my love and my relationship. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Father, I want to thank you for each and every hand that is raised here this morning. Father, I pray that you will bless them, Father. I pray that you will open their eyes to see, God, the legacy that you have prepared for them, God, the people, God, that is around them. God, I pray, Lord, that as they commit themselves this morning to ask you for people, God, to invest themselves into, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide them, lead them, God, to those people, God, that you have chosen, God, for them to connect with, God. I pray for divine appointments, God. I pray for young Christians to come along their way, God. I pray for relationships in small groups, Father, that will be growing, God, because of their impartation, their life. God, I pray, Lord, that they will commit themselves to see your kingdom grow into somebody else's life through their life, Lord. So I pray for that, and I pray that you will bless them. God, I thank you, God, when you called your disciples, you said, follow me, and I will make you, I will change you into something else. God, as we're here today, God, and we choose to follow you, that you will come and do in us, that you will come and change us, impart in us, God, so that we will be able to become fishers of men also. God, your first words was, follow me. And your last words is, I will be with you always to the very end of age. God, I pray that as we follow you in making disciples, that we will also experience you with you more than ever before. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. May you go and make disciples. May you multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth with a legacy, okay, of many children, godly offspring, spiritual children. Amen. May God bless you. If you're in need of prayer, if you've come from a family, if you have a legacy that maybe is slippery and you need some prayer, I'm going to be here afterwards, but I'm going to dismiss the meeting and I'm going to say, God bless you.